May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Two synagogue visits, two very different outcomes. The visit to the synagogue in the town where Jesus grew up, Nazareth, ended in high drama. We read that the people worshipping in the synagogue in Nazareth were filled with rage that Jesus would not perform the same miracles as he had elsewhere. We read, they got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Imagine the tension. This is not, I think, a case of Jesus' power stopping the people of Nazareth from killing him. This looks to me like the sheer force of Jesus' personality, that he determinedly walked through the hostile crowd and went on his way. Yet the visit to Nazareth had started so well. Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. It was perhaps natural that, as the leader of a visiting travelling team, Jesus stood up to read from the Jewish Bible, our Old Testament. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, perhaps at his request. Jesus opened up to what we know as chapter 61 of Isaiah and read a couple of verses. He didn't hesitate to insert a line from another chapter. The audience was amazed, particularly when he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. For many years, I thought that when Jesus handed back the scroll to the attendant and sat down, he was resuming his seat in the congregation, just like our two readers, Bible readers, did today. But rabbis typically adopted a seated position at the front of the synagogue in order to teach. Jesus began by saying, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The first reaction of the audience was very positive. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They were amazed that someone they knew as the son of Joseph could speak with such grace, with such charis. But Jesus is soon forecasting what they will say to him. The synagogue attenders in Nazareth are perhaps not believers in him. The thoughts that he attributes to them begin, what we have heard you did in Capernaum. Not what you did in Capernaum, but what we have heard you did in Capernaum. Perhaps there is reluctance to accept that Jesus really had healed so many people in Capernaum and other towns in Galilee in the north of Judea. Perhaps if they are thinking of challenging Jesus to perform healing miracles in their town, they don't really believe Jesus can do it. So as I envisage the episode, the synagogue attenders want proof. They want to see Jesus heal as he did in Capernaum. But Jesus knows their lack of faith, that he who grew up among them could heal people. So he states the principle, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. Jesus offers one example from the prophetic career of Elijah and one from Elisha's career. But now the people in the synagogue can protest because Elisha was dealing with Gentiles, not with their own ancestors. Naaman, who washed in the River Jordan, was a Syrian, a non-Jew. So Jesus returned to Nazareth, the village of his early years, perhaps even until he reached 30, began auspiciously enough, but it ended in a threat to throw him down from a cliff, or possibly to stone him to death. We know from the first couple of sentences read to us by Natalie that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of God's Spirit. He embarked on a teaching tour, as we can see from the plural word synagogues. Verse 15, Jesus taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So Jesus went to a number of towns and villages, not just Nazareth. When he came, or rather came back to Capernaum, he was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. They were amazed at his teaching, we read, for his word possessed authority. He'd come from the temptations with power, and now they recognized that his word possessed authority. In the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out with a loud voice, "Ha, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Like the demoniacs in the region of Gadara, they cry, "What is there between us and you? What have you to do with us?" Again, the demons recognized who Jesus really was, the Holy One of God. They knew that Jesus was consecrated to God's service. He was the Holy One of God. The letter of James later made the point, the demons believe and shudder. The demon knew who Jesus was, but there was no response of faith or hope or love. As J.C. Ryle, a bishop of Liverpool at the end of the 19th century, pointed out. And next comes the visit or return to Simon's home and the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. No wonder that at the end of the day, all who had people with various diseases brought them to Jesus. Once the Sabbath had ended at sundown, friends and family members were free to carry their sick and demon-possessed to Jesus at the house of Simon. Jesus laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Demons also came out of many, crying, as in the country of the Gadarenes, "You are the Son of God." But again, Jesus rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, for they knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. That he was the Messiah is something that Jesus wanted to keep secret. And the Gospels keep coming back to this attempt at secrecy. But there are other themes that recur in today's long reading. Some of the repetition is probably caused by Luke's placement of the Nazareth synagogue episode immediately after the temptation of Jesus. Mark and Matthew place it later in Jesus' ministry. We are told several times that Jesus is on a tour of synagogues where he would teach like a rabbi. At the beginning of the passage, Jesus is said to have gone out through all the surrounding country and to have taught in their synagogues. And when he came to Nazareth, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. We also gather several times that Jesus possesses great authority. At the beginning of the passage, Jesus returns from the temptations in the power of the Spirit. The word from which we got dynamite is used here, the dunamis, the power of the Spirit. Next, he applies the text of Isaiah 61 to himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he says. And again, in the synagogue at Capernaum, people were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. Another word, exousia, is used for authority or power. After the exorcism, we hear again that amazement came out of all of them, and they said, "What is this word?" Reports about Jesus went out in the region of Galilee, and by the end of the chapter, Jesus' preaching tour has extended to the synagogues of Judea. That's a general word for Palestine. And so it's not just in the north in Galilee, but further south as well. And thirdly, we learned the response of many people. What do? They glorify Jesus. At the beginning of the passage, when he taught in the synagogues of Galilee, he was glorified by all, we read in verse 15. And what was the response in Nazareth? They were amazed at his words of grace, his gracious words. What he went on to say filled the people in the synagogue with anger, and the episode ended in great drama. But later, in Capernaum, the synagogue attenders were astonished at his teaching because of its authority. After the exorcism, they asked, "What is this word? For with authority and power," and you've got the two Greek words together there, "for with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." The power of Jesus, manifested in his teaching, passes over to his power to heal. Did you manage to follow the thread through that song, In Christ Alone? We can only put 8 lines on the screen at one time. And it's some photocopies are quite good, aren't they? You can see the trend of the whole song. We started with Christ as our light, our strength, and our song. We followed Christ taking on flesh, dying on the cross, bursting forth from the grave, and standing in victory. And at the end, what is the power of Christ in me? That we have no guilt in life and no fear in death. We began our service by praising the Lord. God the Son was present at creation. The Lord is the King of creation. What should we do according to the hymn? Come, all who hear. All who hear the teaching of the Lord should draw near and praise him in glad adoration. God's people should sound the amen to the call that all that is in us should come now with praises before him. Oh, let all that is in us gladly forever, for A, we sang, gladly forever in that old-fashioned version. Oh, let all that is in us gladly forever adore him. Amen.